Welcome to Road Trip Roulette, a travel podcast with your hosts, Juliet
and Kevin. We're two friends here to serve as your tour guides on a virtual visit to a randomly selected U.S. town. We're going to bring you the local stories that you didn't think you'd care about and highlight the small town silliness that we all know is just beneath the surface.
Join us as we explore America one town at a time to discover the little things that make it great and sometimes not so great. Buckle up, we're about to start the show. All right, Kevin, we're going to pick a town to virtually visit.
Yes, we are.
So where would you like to go? Where's some place you've just like never been in the United States?
There are three states I've never been to.
That's it? Really?
Yeah. Wow. I've driven to all of them except Alaska, Hawaii, which is impossible to drive through, and North Dakota. I have kind of danced around it, but I haven't gone through North Dakota.
I was about to say that's interesting because I've traveled a lot less than you, but I have been to North Dakota. But I don't think that's true now that I think about it. I think I've only been to South Dakota. Where's Sioux Falls?
South Dakota?
Yeah, I have not been to North Dakota.
Okay. Yeah, I don't even remember what's in North Dakota.
I don't think a lot, and I think that's probably Fargo. Why we haven't been.
Well, perhaps we'll get a town from
we'll
North
see,
Dakota.
See, North Dakota. That would be a nice place to go simply because we've never been there.
Yeah, it might be hard to get stories from towns that nobody lives in, but...
As is the challenge of this podcast in totality.
Yes, it is our burden.
Our burden that we have placed on ourselves. Are you ready to pick a town?
I am so ready to pick a town.
All right, let's spin the wheel, see where we go.
All right.
All right, spinning, spinning, spinning.
Here we go.
Ooh, Frisco City, Alabama.
Ooh, all right.
Frisco City's kind of a fun name.
Now, do you think Frisco City predates San Francisco? Because don't they call it Frisco?
Like they do. I would imagine Frisco is an abbreviation of Francisco, just in general.
Like a religious word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think San Francisco probably predates Frisco City simply because a lot of those coastal California towns were founded by the Spanish long before, say, Alabama was established.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's related. I'm sure it's the same Frisco.
Well, when we come back, hopefully we will be talking about Frisco City, Alabama.
All right, Frisco.
All right, welcome back.
Oh, we are back and ready to talk about Frisco City.
Frisco City, Alabama.
Interesting town.
Yeah, a lot of interesting recent history, which I'm going to talk about. A couple quick things that we learned right off the bat. Not a lot of people there. 1,300 people. 1,309 to be exact.
And it's never been big.
No.
Its largest population was slightly bigger than that in like 1990.
Just under 50% African American, 45% white. Pretty down the middle there. Most people work in manufacturing there, which I saw.
Part of the country that still has manufacturing.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So what did you learn about Frisco City?
So I actually found a pretty well done little summary of the history of the town, which I just kind of thought I'd go through instead of picking something specific because it's really interesting. And it's one of these towns whose name changed like a million times for funny reasons.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
So it started as two separate communities of Lufkin. I don't know if you say it that way.
I like that you said it like that.
And Snyder, both German, right?
Yes.
Okay. And they had existed in the area since like 1850. They were officially combined into the incorporated town of Jones Mill in 1909.
Yeah, named after J.W. Jones.
Right. A preacher who built a large house in the town, which is still there. Well, was still there in this photo from 2010, which I gotta say, house not looking so good 2010.
Oh, okay. That's why you say it might not be there anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you have other information.
No, I'm concerned it just, in the last 6 years, maybe something happened and she fell over. But we'll see. So the town continued to be Jones Mill until 1913. When it was renamed Roy, Alabama, after Roy McGargill?
McGargill, I like.
McGargill, So that was president of the Gulf, Florida, and Alabama Railroad, who promised to bring a branch of the railroad to the town.
Yeah, I love that they got so excited about this prospect that they named the town after him before he even did anything.
Not only did they name the town after him, on November 4th, 1913, the town celebrated the official opening of this new town with a sale of town lots, foot races, a baby beauty contest, and a public wedding. They were so excited about...
Public wedding?
Yeah, about the prospect of this railroad coming to town. They just, like, went for it. Big party.
You can tell by the way we're talking about it that things didn't pan out that way. So I love that there's a marriage license out there with the name of a town on it that doesn't exist.
Yeah. So this, they graded the streets in 1913, put in a telephone system. In 1914, they got a bank. People started businesses and people moved to the town expecting this railroad to come. There were grocery stores. Soft drink bottling companies came to the town. Mm-hmm. All with the anticipation of this railroad.
Yeah.
Well, the promised railroad never materialized. The railroad that was supposed to come switched owners in 1919, and it just never happened. So they reverted to the previous name of the town, but pluralized it for reasons that I could not determine.
Yeah.
So it went from Jones Mill to Roy to Jones Mills. So apparently they weren't married to this name either. Because in 1925, the St. Louis and San Francisco Railroad companies bought that same Gulf, Florida, Alabama line. And once again, the operators promised a freight yard would be located in Jones Mills in the town, and they'd build a new railroad there. They actually never built the freight yard, but they did build the tracks. A rail system went through the town, but it apparently was never what it was expected to be. Hmm. But because of this new agreement, they changed the name of the city to Frisco. After the San Francisco-St. Louis Railroad line. The company asked them to change the name as part of the promise to put this freight yard there. So that stuck, I guess.
Yeah, I love it. It's Frisco City, but it's not quite a city.
Certainly is not.
As a quick once over, so it was Lufkin and Snyder, then it became one singular city, Jones Mill, for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then it was Roy for 6 years, and then it was Jones Mills for 6 years, and then it became Frisco City in perpetuity.
Well, for a while, it was just Frisco.
Is that right?
It was Frisco in 1925 and then became Frisco City in 1928. A lot of decision-making challenges in this town, I guess.
Which relates to my story.
Right.
I can talk about that later. What else?
No, that's really it. The town kind of, it started to grow in the 20s and 30s. The downtown area started booming. At its height, there were about 50 businesses in the downtown area in around 1950. There was a big fire downtown that destroyed a bunch of businesses that were closing anyway. So now there are about 14 functioning businesses in downtown Frisco City.
Okay.
So it's kind of a familiar story of small town America, unfortunately.
Yes.
There's some cool little history things you can visit, like if the Jones House is still there. They also redid the post office, which looks real cute. So it looks like there is some stuff you can drive around and see in this town.
Yeah. It sounds like, take a look at the Jones House, do not enter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might not be sound. One thing you could do while you're there is visit the only cop in town. It's only one police officer. He made some headlines last year because he is barred from carrying a gun.
Oh, boy.
Very interesting situation. They are broke. The town is broke.
I'll get to more details about that later.
They can only afford one cop, and they have this one police officer as a cost-saving measure. Does not carry a gun because he's barred from doing so, and I'll tell you about it now. I'm going to read this article or portions of it from AL.com, which is an Alabama local news website. The name of this article is The Twisted Case of the Alabama Police Chief Legally Barred from Carrying a Gun. Frisco City is a small town in Monroe County that really stretches the definition of city, comprising little more than a strip of sleepy stores framed by a few square blocks of mostly brick houses. But Frisco City is currently in the throes of a soap opera caliber scandal that is difficult for even its own residents to wrap their heads around. For the past 2 months, Police Chief Sergio Andrews has been legally barred from carrying a gun and therefore going out on patrols or engaging in other active police work. Did you read any about anything?
I just saw a headline. So this all happened like early 2016, right?
A court order went in that barred him from carrying a gun in December of last year.
Okay.
So it's been about a year.
A year, okay.
And I do have a little update, sort of.
Oh, good.
The story of how Andrews ended up stuck behind a desk is a twisted one at the intersection of race, sex, and politics. It features a clandestine recording, a rumored affair, and a refusal to submit to unproven allegations.
Ooh, dis juicy.
Yes, I know. The current troubles officially began late last year when a protection order was filed in Monroe County Circuit Court against Andrews, the chief of police, on behalf of his ex-girlfriend, Kayla. Andrews has not been charged with a crime. The order does not name any specific incident of abuse that spurred the issuance of the order. But the circuit judge signed the order anyway, which is part of the controversy.
Right.
He's not charged with a crime. Anyway, the judge writes, all firearms owned by or possessed by the defendant shall be surrendered by the defendant to the sheriff of the county. And this was last December. Did I mention that the police officer here is black?
You did not.
Yes.
Okay.
Important thing here. This gentleman's black. Like I said, half the town is black, half the town's white. The city council is kind of split, and that's where there's more trouble. Frisco City Mayor Mary Malone has come under heavy criticism from members of the city council and others for refusing to fire Andrews. But she says that he has done nothing wrong in his capacity as a member of the police department, alleging that he is a victim of a smear campaign by members of the Frisco City community who are angered by the fact that Andrews, who is black, may have had an intimate relationship with a white woman. Yeah, here we go.
Ooh, baby.
Late last year, a recording emerged of Andrews speaking romantically with a white woman he was dating. According to Malone, the mayor, and three other anonymous sources, the tape, which the sources said was recorded by a private citizen, was passed around to multiple council members, one of which eventually brought it to the mayor, who says that she declined to listen to it, refusing to eavesdrop on Andrew's personal life. It is unclear how the tape was recorded, but Malone and the woman on the recording both said the woman's then-husband serendipitously placed a recorder device in her car, which captured the conversation. This is a quote. It's a race issue, definitely. Like I said, the girl was white that he was talking with, and the council asked me to fire him, and I said I can't fire him because of this. This is my favorite part. I even wrote that in my notes. The mayor goes on talking about this tape. It was just love talking. They was just talking. That's what they told me. He was just talking love talk to this woman, and the council got mad about it. I have a tape in my drawer right now, and I told them I'm not going to listen to it.
Okay, wait. So if she won't listen to it, does she know it's just love talk?
Oh, yeah. This is like, yeah, I don't know. But I just love.
Also, what's love talking?
I don't know. He was just talking love.
Okay.
The woman on the recording spoke to AL.com, who wrote this article, on the condition of anonymity, that she was never romantically involved with Andrews. And her husband alleged in court documents that she had engaged in adulterous sexual activity with Sergio Andrews during their marriage.
Interesting.
It's out there.
But Sergio was not also married, correct? He was single man.
Not mentioned.
Okay.
But I think for a reason. I don't believe he was married. This is her quote saying, there was not anything romantic about it. It was just us having a conversation. We would meet up sometimes for lunch and would talk about what's going on down there. We were talking bad about officials in Monroe County.
Oh, interesting.
She also believes that they're not trying to do anything with Sergio because of racism, but they are, in fact, upset with his job performance. So there's a lot of, like, weird...
Lots of layers here.
Lots of layers. The city lawyer, Anthony Bishop, denies that the recording has any influence over council members' decisions to call on Malone to fire Andrews. Citing court-ordered restriction from owning a firearm is what most concerns the council. So that's the story where it was left.
There's so much going on because, like, he's got the court order, he can't hold a gun, but he wasn't charged with anything. But then also he's having this affair with this white lady. Mm-hmm. The council found out about it because of a recording,
uh-huh.
which I really want to hear because I want to know what love talking is.
Yes, I can't wait.
Oh, okay. Out. This is, I like this a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for many parties, but.
Yeah, I have a couple other things about this, but like I said, I was just reading an article on a website. The article also had a comment section.
Oh, boy.
So I got a couple things here. A user named Pitiless writes, shame on AL.com. telling the world that a small town does not have an armed full-time cop. May as well put up billboards saying rape and pillage here. SQL server Jedi Knight says, translation, it's seventh grade politics in small town Alabama.
Oh my God. Though I'm very confident that many members of this community do own firearms. Just not the one cop, but.
Yes. Airbull says, what a mess. There's always two sides to a story, but how do you take weapons with no charges? BO would be proud. And then
Barack Obama.
Ooh,
thanks, Obama.
Name checked in a comment on this website.
Ooh, that's different. Well, I would say the problem with this story is not that there's two sides, it's that there's like eight.
Yeah, there's a lot of sides. And I have a little bit of an update, sort of.
All right, what's going on in Frisco City?
It's not really an update about Sergio so much, as I know that as of this recording, he's still the chief of police.
Okay.
But before I give you the update, I got to give you a little background on the history of the Frisco City Police Department.
Great.
At least the recent history. So this involves two items. One of them's not funny at all, and the other one's kind of funny, okay. And it's super related to the update. Let's see. This is two other recent police chiefs, like within the past 5 years. They've had a lot of turnover.
So, I would imagine.
Yeah. In March of 2011, Ronald Marshall, Frisco City's then police chief, was arrested and charged with felony rape and an ethics violation for allegedly sexually assaulting a 38-year-old woman in his police vehicle as she attempted to report a stolen computer. The case went to grand jury, which ultimately determined that there was not enough evidence to indict Marshall, and the charges were dropped against him.
Oh.
So, former police chief, you know, this isn't starting off right. But this guy, the next one, in June of 2013, Gene Starr, Frisco City's then police chief, which is funny that they keep saying that,
right,
was fired by Malone, the mayor, from the story, after she became aware that he was contemplating resigning from his position because he considered it too stressful. So she fired him because she says that he was talking aloud about resigning the job. She says he told her a date later in the month when he planned to step down and that she planned to pay him through that date. But he maintains that he never gave a date and actually hoped to stay on as chief after dozens of Frisco City citizens signed a petition imploring him not to resign. Starr filed a lawsuit against Malone in Frisco City in Monroe County Circuit Court, alleging that Malone violated his rights as an employee by terminating him without cause. The case was settled, but the settlement has not been made public. Which leads me to the update. This article I was reading, the headline, let me just read this. The headline is, Alabama town runs out of money, furloughs most employees.
Oh.
I know this is a lot of reading in this episode.
No, this is fascinating.
Yeah. This was published less than a month ago. Frisco City may currently have the most broke, understaffed municipal government in Alabama. The city's workforce has been decimated by furloughs that will last at least the next week and potentially through the end of the first week of November. So I guess this was written in October.
Of 2016.
Of 2016, that's right. I forget that the people listening to this are not in this room with us right now. The Frisco City Police Department is down to only one officer, Chief Sergio Andrews, who achieved minor infamy earlier this year as the Alabama police chief who was legally barred from carrying a firearm. This is a quote from the mayor, Malone. In the next week, we should be back up. We do have some monies coming in.
Monies?
We do have some monies coming in by the first of the month, next month.
From what?
I didn't say. Andrews, the police chief, is working without pay. A few other people working for the city are working without pay right now, as of this article, which is interesting. Mayor Malone said Tuesday that the city ran out of funds because it had to settle a wrongful termination lawsuit filed by police chief Gene Starr in 2013 that was settled in February. She says, Gene Starr sued the town and we have enough money to last until we get our taxes and stuff. But after he sued the town, he cut us short for a little while. But next week, I'm sure I'll probably have them back working again. We had to pay Gene Starr out of our money. I think it was for about $47,000.
Oh, my God.
She thinks. It's not the most important thing in her life right now.
$47,000 bankrupted this town.
Frisco City, Alabama.
Holy hell.
Yeah. So that's the mayor's side. Let's hear Gene Starr's side.
Great.
So Starr told AL.com Tuesday that the money he received came from the city's insurance provider, not the city's coffers.
That would actually make sense.
Yeah. He says, one person's comment was that I broke the city, but I didn't because I was paid by the insurance company. They laid off all the employees because there's no money left. Some employees are still working, but they aren't getting paid. Right now, they're apparently laid off until the new administration takes place, and I think that's November 7th. Starr, former police chief, who ran for mayor in the city's election earlier this month, is now pursuing a new lawsuit challenging the results of Frisco City's contest. Starr's opponent, Starr's opponent in the mayoral race, Alan Lang, narrowly beat Starr and will take office early next month when the election's result is upheld. Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill is investigating claims by Starr that some residents were unable to vote because the town ran out of ballots early, and that the results included votes by a number of people who lived outside the city limits.
This is the best thing I've ever heard.
It's bad. It's horrible when you run out of ballots at an election, Starr said. This town's only getting worse. Many Frisco City residents have been upset for months, even years, about the way their city has been governed.
No shit.
They take to social media to voice their outrage and concern, forming Facebook groups with names like Let's Make Frisco City Great Again, aimed at replacing the leadership in City Hall.
Kev, we got to get into those Facebook groups. Like, that's going to be what I do this afternoon.
Anyway, that's the update because it involved a police chief of this town, which we started talking about with Sergio, who's currently working without pay.
So, this is the best story I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one in this town has talked about anything else for at least 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
That fills me with such joy. Like, obviously, it's probably not an ideal situation for people living there. It's amazing. Starr has to still live in the town, right? Yeah, he ran for mayor. Oh, my God. This is so good.
Yeah. So, there's all these ex-police chiefs. Nobody can make up their mind on anything. And I'm talking going back to the name of the goddamn town to what they're doing now. This town is...
This is the first town we've done where I'm like, I gotta go. Like, I gotta go. And you know what? I bet anybody involved in this would talk to us. Like, they seem, like, thirsty to tell this story.
You think we can talk to Starr?
I want to talk to Starr and I want to talk to the mayor.
Should this be the first episode we do a follow-up?
Okay, let's try our best.
Yes. I think we could set up an interview with
Starr. This town is fascinating. You're right. They can't make a decision to save their lives.
No.
Literally, their town is broke.
Their town is falling apart.
They can't decide why the town is broke.
I mean, the founder of the town's house is falling apart.
What a metaphor.
It is a metaphor of the entire city.
Oh, God. Delightful.
Yeah.
Well, please let us know if you know anything about this town.
Yes.
If you have family there or are familiar with the story, we want the juicy, juicy details.
Mm-hmm. Imagine if we could get our hands on that recording.
Well, I'm concerned there'd be some legal issues at that point.
Well, if we had a transcript, we could read it.
Yes.
If it's in the court documents for this divorce case.
The only reason I want to hear it is because I just want to know what love talking is.
I can't make any assumptions.
Is it like sexting in life? Like sexting in person?
Well, we know it was in a car.
Right. Because it's love talk.
It is love talk.
We know it's just talk.
And I know Sergio Andrews on Facebook.
Oh, great.
I'm trying to do my due diligence here as a reporter.
Proud of you, Kevin.
I know he's a real person. He has a Facebook profile. That means he's real, right?
Uh-huh. Right? Well done, Kevin. I really feel like you found, like, this is what this podcast is all about.
Yeah.
So please go to this town if you're anywhere near it and just knock on City Hall and see if somebody will talk to you, Alabama listeners.
Sorry for the long story.
I feel like it was worth it, Kevin. Yeah. Thank you.
No, you're welcome. America is welcome for that story. And if we find out any more details, we'll be sure to tell you about it.
We'll update you. Well, just fascinating. Yes, like I said, please let us know if you know anything about this town. You can email us at roadtriproulette@gmail.com. We're on Facebook at roadtriproulette.
Mm-hmm.
And you can visit us online at roadtrippod.com. And we're also on SoundCloud at roadtrippod.com.
Yes. We really should have this written in front of us. but it seems like you got it down.
I got it locked in, buddy.
Okay, that's great. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you, and as always, please don't tell them we sent you.
Hey, Juliet, can I have some gas money?
Oh, yeah, it is in the mail.
But we're neighbors! Sitcom laugh track.